Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope?
Year.
Turn up the festive music, wishing you a happy holiday season.
From Radio Africana.
Good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu. I'm glad you're here with me again. Every week, the space is about showing things and talking honestly about kidney health in a way that feels clear and familiar. I'm going to try something new today because whilst I'm on radio, I'm streaming live on TikTok. So wherever you are, you can join me either on radio or on TikTok. You go to WSHBMEKidneys, or you go to Radio Africana online. That's www.radioafricana.com. And I'm the only one on this segment at this time, so there's not going to be any mix up. So keep just go straight to the link, log in, and let's start the session. I'm actually trying to reach a lot more people through TikTok because I think this subject I'm talking about, it's really important, especially in our community where we don't talk about illness or talk about, organ donation or anything that is anything that, you know, is we find mildly disconcerting or something that makes us, that upsets us. So tonight, I want to tell you to copy the link and send it on to your friends, to your family, and let's get this session going. In our last session, we heard from a survivor, a kidney a patient who got a transplant from their mother. I saw her, and a lot of you contacted me, you know, telling me how her story impacted you. And I'm really glad that somebody else's story is making people stop and think, because I've been sharing my story for a very long time, and I think most of you are tired of hearing it again. But you know, today I was at a church in Salford, the RCCG church. I've forgotten the branch name, but I will look for it and, you know, tell you about it. And it was amazing. And the regular one I go to, I'm a Catholic, but I do go to the church because I have friends there, and I've become friends with the pastors. The City of Praise in Little Houghton is another one I go to, and they have embraced, you know, what I have to offer. And I hope, listening to me tonight, that you are going to take something away with you. So this week, we are going right back to the beginning. We are talking about how kidney disease actually starts. So, and why so many people miss the early signs, and what kidney stones really mean. And the reason I've added this in is because after last week's show, one of my listeners actually sent me a message and said someone had asked them a question about kidney stones. So tonight, we have somebody really special, and we're going to be talking about, you know, everything about kidney disease from the beginning. And it will also help you to understand what to expect when you are diagnosed. So this is a conversation many families wish they had earlier. So tonight we're having it calmly and clearly. So tonight I am joined by Professor Ibi Erekosima. He's a consultant renal or kidney physician at Salford Royal Hospital here in Greater Manchester. Well, particularly in Salford. Go Salford! He's a senior lecturer at the University of Manchester and a visiting professor of medicine and medical education in Nigeria. He has spent many years working to improve kidney health and awareness, especially within the Black African and Caribbean communities. Professor Ibi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me today. Thank you.
Before we begin, this session is for anyone who has questions about kidney health, anyone living with kidney disease, and families who want to understand more so they can make informed decisions. So again, this is a live, and it is for information only and understanding everything about kidney disease. It does not replace personal medical advice. If anything discussed raises concerns for you, please speak directly to your GP or your kidney team. So let's ease into today's conversation with a song that reminds us to stay present and calm as we listen and learn. So I'm going to bring to you tonight Wizkid's Smile, and I'll see you back here in a little bit. Don't go away.
Substance. It's easy when the love don't hide. No, I had to learn from my mistakes. Company creates companions. So right, yeah, baby, both say, I love your smile. Girl, I love it when you smile. Go like.
only one I see. Love the way you talk to me, and I love your energy, cause you make it look easy. My everything, baby, believe me. There ain't nothing I won't give, there ain't nothing I won't do. You're the only one for me, nobody else but you, cause you make me feel lucky. Lucky. You know it's yours, baby, just me. Trust. Blessing to me, I thank Baba God for your love. Hold on, my baby, show me what I couldn't see. My love for you can never go blind. I wanna be by your side.
Welcome back. That was Smile by Wizkid. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that's helped with getting you into the right frame of mind for the discussion today. So let's settle in now and start from the beginning. So I'm going to go straight to Prof. Prof, many people listening tonight only hear about kidney disease when it has already progressed. From your experience, how do people usually develop kidney disease in the first place?
Right. Thank you very much, Ilera. And thank you for having me again. So CKD, also known as chronic kidney disease, is very common. People don't realize that. It affects around 1 in 10 people in the UK. That's what data shows from the Kidney Care UK statistics. If you go to their website, you'll find that information. So the vast majority of people with CKD do not have any symptoms. However, it can affect people of all ages, including babies and children, and it can run in families. So it is more common in people from the Asian and Black background because the commonest causes of chronic kidney disease are diabetes and hypertension. Yeah. And this affects these two ethnic populations, the Asian population and the Black population. So that's the most likely way that you can develop kidney disease. But there are other ways. There could be inflammation within the kidneys. Which we call nephritis. You don't need to know, it's a mouthful of words, but just
Yes, it is.
And long time use of certain over the counter products like ibuprofen and naproxen for painkillers, and people are very used to that.
Yeah.
And also, it could be a family history of inherited kidney disease, but this is quite rare.
Yeah.
So the two most common causes are diabetes and hypertension.
Okay. Thank you very much. As you're speaking, I'm just thinking of how many listeners will recognize what you're describing right now. High blood pressure, diabetes, infections, long-term medication, especially ibuprofen. These are things people live with every day, without realizing the strain they place on the kidney. Last 2 weeks, we had Esohe, who spoke about how she was using ibuprofen, and then getting water infection, and that's what compounded the problem she had. And you talking today about, how people, the symptoms of chronic kidney disease or how people get into becoming kidney patients. From what you see in clinic, are there patterns that worry you more within the African Caribbean communities?
Yes, that's a very important question. Know that just before I answer the question, let me just give very in the next 1 minute talk about what does the kidney do. The kidney gets rid of water, it controls your blood pressure, it gets rid of waste products. It also involves in your bone health and involves in maintaining the chemical balance in your body.
Mm.
And also make sure that your heart's health is fine.
Yeah.
And it also releases some hormones which enable you to make blood red blood cells. So one of the things that's my experience with kidney disease from our ethnic groups, which is the Black ethnic group,
yeah.
is that people are not aware that they have diseases like especially hypertension,
yeah,
high blood pressure. And there is this myth that high blood pressure is you take medicine, the blood pressure comes down and they stop taking the medication.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons why I always talk about busting the myths in hypertension,
yeah,
amongst our people. Because I've seen, especially with the so-called jackpot syndrome, I've seen more Black people attending my clinic,
yeah,
who have chronic kidney disease. And you can see that they're not aware that they have kidney disease. And most of them are in the young population,
yeah,
of less than 40 years old. And so that's a bit worried. So I think it all boils down to the fact that they're not aware that they have this problem.
Yeah.
Even though they are aware, they probably would think that if they take medication for a time, it will solve the problem. And so they don't go and take it. They don't know that it's a lifelong treatment.
Yeah.
And also diabetes, there's all sorts of myths around diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take all sorts of they call them nutritional support and things like that to bring down their blood sugars. Mm-hmm. They don't liaise with their GPs to make sure that happens. And it also, the third aspect is that, you know, because of some form of inequality in the health services, people yeah. are not very, they're not proactive with our population,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it affects more of our population and the Asian population.
That's true, yeah. That's very true. And, you know, and another thing is that people tend to delay going to see the GP because they're thinking about work, they're thinking about bills they have to pay, they're thinking about, yes. you know, their children and stuff like that, especially
exactly.
amongst the male African Caribbean people.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to, because they're the breadwinners, sometimes you find that they actually ignore their own health and look for and go out looking for money to take care of their families. And that is the point about late presentation. It is really important that when people notice signs of kidney disease, that they actually contact their GPs or go to the hospital if they're already under hospital care. Many people wait because they don't feel the pain or they assume tiredness is just part of life. I want us to talk about that. I want us to talk about kidney stones as well, because people often okay. talk about them lightly. It's not really something. They don't think it's not. They feel it's not kidney disease, so it's not. Mm. It's really not bad. So, Professor, what exactly are kidney stones, and when should people stop brushing them off as something minor?
Okay, just before addressing that, you know, most people do not have symptoms in the early stages of CKD, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
And so early stage kidney is often diagnosed, but people from usually diagnosed from urine tests and blood tests. But we'll talk about that mm-hmm. later.
Yeah.
But in according to kidney stones are like hard mineral salt clusters in the kidneys, causing severe pain usually.
Yeah.
When they are formed, nausea and blood in the urine sometimes. Although small ones may pass unnoticed, they are caused by concentrated urine from dehydration, diet, obesity, or conditions like frequent urinary tract infections.
Okay.
Usually what happens is treatment involves pain relief, fluids, sometimes medical. Now, the thing is that the causes and risk factors mainly are dehydration, not drinking enough water, concentrates urine, letting minerals crystallize. I noticed that when our people come to this country, most times people don't drink enough.
Yeah.
At least you should have about 2 to 3 liters of water every day, or fluid, you know. And the entire salt, sugar, animal protein.
Yes.
Could cost that. You know, people probably take a whole chicken and just divide or take out the side protein diet. That will increase your risk to having kidney stones.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, recurrent kidney infection can also increase your chances, increase your risk, of having kidney stones, yes.
Okay. Okay, so you've heard it here. You heard what the doctor said. Kidney stones are deposits in your kidney from, you know, dehydration and, you know, all the stuff. So if you're listening right now, please remember to drink at least 2 to 3 liters a day so that your kidneys can flush out those toxins in your body, okay? So I want us to pause here briefly before we continue and allow the information you've heard so far to settle. I'm going to ask for a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing this evening is Peace by Mobad. I know all of us know Mobad. He was an artist in Nigeria who died under mysterious circumstances. And to this day, we don't know what really happened. And it's still a sensitive subject amongst his fans today. But, you know, as I hope that as we listen, we find grace within and we find peace within the song. So to continue in this kidney health journey with us, don't go away. Here is Mobad with Peace. I'll see you back here in a minute.
Waiting be this one like this. Been through many things. Many, many gist. Oh, I still find my peace. Mother. Oh, what they do like see me, I know they see. Like say I know the year. Which kind person be this? Oh, waiting be this one like this. Been through many things. And like I hate jealousy. I've been dealing with enemies. Survivor, survivor. Munigba, money chaser. Faster than a bullet. Flying like a rocket. Bad man, we never rest. King of South and the West. Faster than a car. Move ever inside. Faster than a Benz. Oh, you do your level. So, bad vibes on the ground. Really, my Sam, I'm so bad. Because I even look at them, they to the ground. They won't say your nigga. They want to turn your teacher. Before you are my man. Oh, my nigga. Oh, my nigga. You go be when I know get you. Oh my nigga, oh my nigga, you go be when I no get rap. Cause my mama, me praying for me, say make I get it. Oh my baby, say you go there before my suru leve. Waiting be this one like this. Been through many things. Many, many gist. I still find my peace. Oh, do like say me, I know they see. Like say I know they hear. Which kind person be this? Oh, waiting be this one like this. Been through many things. Like I hate Genesis. I've been dealing with frenemies. Survivor, survivor. Munich, Munich. Money chaser, faster than a bullet. Flying like a rocket. Bad man win a verse. King of South and the West. Faster than a car. Move ever me sir. Faster than a Benz. Oh, chip low level. So, bad vibes on the ground.
Welcome back. That was Peace by Mobad. I hope you vibed to that song like I did. So, and it was really, really great. I love hearing that song talking about peace. Now, let's talk about what our bodies are often trying to tell us long before a diagnosis is made. Because a lot of times, as I said previously, a lot of people notice symptoms, but they ignore it because they think it's minor. They think that, you know, it's not something to worry about now. We'll go when it gets really serious. And I'm guilty of it as well, because sometimes I don't want to go to the hospital and I keep putting things aside. And that is not good. It's not good for us as human beings, because our bodies can take a lot, but not a lot that, you know, is shut down. So I would really encourage people, if you're listening right now and you're not noticing any symptoms, please go to your doctor or you go to your GP and speak to them about the symptoms you are noticing. So let's go back to the professor. Prof, let us move to the moment many people fear most, when someone is told they have kidney disease. What does that diagnosis actually mean in practical terms?
Yeah, this is a very important question. Like I said before, the last question was that most people with early stage of chronic kidney disease do not have symptoms in the early stages. Even damaged kidneys can still work well enough to prevent any noticeable symptoms. So early stage kidney disease is often diagnosed because of blood or urine tests for a different condition. Sometimes you go for something else and they test your urine and blood. But I always advocate that when you're above 40, when you do the well woman or well man's test, they'll be able to look at all these things. But coming to the question now, when you're told that you have kidney disease, usually most people come at stage 3 and below. So the kidney disease have been staged in the last 20 years so that it will help the doctors to manage the kidneys as well. In the past, we used to just say kidney failure, which meant nothing. So by staging the kidney disease, we're able to offer treatment to reduce the progression of the kidney disease. Okay, for example, if you're found to have, if you go and do a blood test and your these days we assess kidney function by a certain percentage. And so if you have, for example, it is staged from 1 to 5, but most times, like I said before, the stages 1 to 3 and even late parts of stage 3, you don't have any symptoms. Most people see those symptoms in probably around that less stage 3. So I'll just quickly say what the stages are. You got kidney damage, but normal kidney function. So the kidney damage is shown by the fact that you're leaking some protein in the urine. So you go and test your urine, there's protein, which means that the filters, which I said, is supposed to get rid of toxins and they are not working well. So good things are passing through. And that protein can damage the kidneys again. Now, stage 2 is when kidney damage with mild loss of kidney function, which means that your kidney function is now between 60% and 90%. All right. So the next stage is what we call stage 3, but it's divided into stage 3A and 3B because, you know, it depends on the degree of protein that is in the urine. And usually stage 3 is between 45 to 60, that's stage 3A. But in general term, stage 3 will be from, when you have from 30% to 60%. But they've divided into two because of the protein levels and things. And that is for doctors to manage, because there are drugs that we can use to reduce the production of the protein, which can cause more problems. So now, specifically to what you were asking, so if you have, if you've now been told that you have stage 4, which is your kidney function is now working less than 10%, and you will begin to mean that your kidney is working at 30%, and the likelihood of in the next coming years, probably 5 to 5 years and more, that you end up with on dialysis or transplant, depending on other things, which we'll explain later. So that meant that you need to take those risk factors like high blood pressure and diabetes control more seriously. And your diets and exercise, your health very seriously, because you can reduce the progression and there are treatments for that. And so you have to be proactive, working with your doctor to make sure that that happens.
Okay.
So I'll pause here so that we can talk into more details of the stages.
Okay, so you've mentioned stages, and that word alone can frighten people. Many listeners hear stage two or stage three, and immediately there's panic. And I'm really glad that that explanation alone will bring relief to so many people who are listening tonight. There's often an assumption that dialysis or transplant comes straight away. At what point, Prof, do treatments like medication, dialysis, or transplant usually enter the conversation?
Okay. Now, when most people, because they're not diagnosed early, may come at late stage three.
Yeah.
So, which means that their kidneys will be working around 30%. So, at that point, what we do is that there are medications to reduce your progression.
To
a point where you require dialysis. Now, I think that's a common question that people ask. Am I going to go on dialysis now? I said, no, we can reduce the progression by delaying your onset of dialysis by even up to 10 years. If you treat yourself well, you will be stable. So now what I mean by that is that you can deal with the risk factors with diabetes and hypertension. Also, there are medications to reduce the protein in the urine, which can cause more problems to the kidneys. And so when the point where we begin to consider and begin to plan dialysis and transplant is when kidney function goes below 20%. So when it gets to 15%, especially when we now be more proactive in getting you begin to prepare you with various modalities, which is various types. Of dialysis, and also begin to assess you for kidney transplant. Now, dialysis does not take place until kidney function is less than 10%, which is around between say about 8%. That's what nationally is being documented. That when you get to 8%, usually most times you will be feeling unwell, and so dialysis can take place.
Yeah,
and then they will have prepared you adequately for the dialysis. That means that, once they say you have kidney disease, CKD, it does not mean that you'll be on dialysis. It just depends on the stages, which I've explained before, from stage one to stage five. Now, between stage four and stage five, especially when you begin to go to late stage four, which is less than 20%, getting to 15%, that's when we begin to prepare you for transplant and dialysis.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm glad you said that because it's the information you're giving this evening is going to help people understand that diagnosis is not the end. It's information. It's a starting point. What should someone expect emotionally and medically in the early days after diagnosis? And what questions should they be asking their doctor? Because when I was diagnosed initially, it was like, you know, telling somebody something and it goes in through one ear and comes out of the other. And when they asked if I had any questions, I couldn't actually think of anything because at that point in time, I was devastated. So I would really appreciate if you can, you know, maybe expand a little bit on that, on what people should expect, both emotionally and medically, and what is available to them, especially emotionally, after in those early days of diagnosis, and what questions should they really be asking their doctor?
Yes, that's very important. That's a very important question, especially how do you deal with that news that you have chronic kidney disease, and how do you live with it day by day?
Exactly.
So emotionally, I mean, the kidney management is not just based on the doctor alone. You have a team within the department, and the team usually comprises of the doctor, the specialist nurse. You have dietitians, you have clinical psychologists in the team. Now they also have physiotherapists to enable exercise and all those things. So So it's a multidisciplinary team approach. So when you're diagnosed, if you are struggling to be the diagnosis in terms of emotionally,
yeah,
you usually signpost you to usually offer the psychologist to deal with that aspect. But sometimes people are in denial that they don't have a disease, mm-hmm, especially people from our ethnic minority.
Yes.
So what we do is to signpost them to clinical psychologist. What that means, it's not as if that's the end of the road. What kidney disease means and all that. And so the specialist nurses also have a role where they also explain things apart from the doctor. So in terms of questions to ask, one of the things that I always, people just ask, so what does chronic kidney disease mean, which I've explained before,
yeah,
which means that it's damage to your kidneys, mm-hmm, over time it will progressively get worse.
Yeah.
But that it could be slowed down with medications.
Okay.
And dealing with the various risk factors like diabetes, make sure that your diabetes is well under control.
Yeah.
Hypertension is well under control. These days, there are also medications, like there's a new medication now that can reduce protein and at the same time stabilize the kidneys.
Okay.
So there's treatment out there. So it's not as if it's the end of the road once they say that you have kidney disease.
Yeah.
It's just managed medically. And all that, and so also the types of food to eat. Mm-hmm. There's a dietitian in the team that will be able to take you through that, especially salts intake and
yeah,
other foods.
Yeah,
it's just that sometimes we don't have people to give you that information. But most of information are also, they will signpost you to other information on the internet, you know, with African foods and things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So those things are, so the information is right there, but you need to be more proactive by asking who can questions. Support you,
yeah,
in this journey.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I hope everybody's gotten something from that, because I know that when people are diagnosed at that point in time, they're not thinking of what questions to ask. I hope that what the prof has said has helped you to, you know, start to align things in your head, especially if you are this could be your first appointment with your doctor, and they're going to be talking to you about your diagnosis. I hope that's what we've discussed so far this evening is helping you to, you know, get things, you know, right in your head on how to manage yourself, how to speak to your doctor, how to speak to the nurses, and how to get help if you're just noticing some signs. So let us take a moment to breathe before we move into how people live with this information. And here is Omale with Reason, and I hope you enjoy it. And when we come back, we're going to move to the next segment. I'll see you back here in a minute. Welcome back. That was Reason by Omale. And I want us to continue the next few minutes with clarity and have some takeaways that we can sort of like reflect on tonight before we go to bed. So I hope you enjoyed that song. So to move very quickly to the professor, Prof, Many people replay their lifestyle in their minds after diagnosis. I know I did, because I was going through my head thinking, where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? What have I been eating? Have I been going out, drinking and stuff like that? So people think about, you know, diet, water, painkiller, stress. And from your experience, what everyday habits quietly damage the kidneys without people realizing?
That's quite important. You know, at the beginning, we did mention about the things that the risk factors that can lead to kidney disease.
Yeah.
And if you look at the commonest cause of kidney disease, like I mentioned before,
mm-hmm.
is diabetes. So people have family histories of diabetes. So your parents might have diabetes.
Yeah.
So they should be proactive in checking their themselves
with their
doctors, with their GP.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if they have high blood pressure in the family, because mm-hmm. most families have a family history of high blood pressure.
Yeah.
So when you're above 40 years old or even less, because most people present with high blood pressure less than 40 in the Black and African Caribbeans. So you need to be proactive by checking your blood pressure. I always say that above 35 should be proactive with that.
Okay.
That is one key thing. And then always eat, make sure that you eat healthily,
mm-hmm.
Drink at least 2 to 3 liters of water. I know that those things are easier said than done.
Yeah.
Also, don't be going to buy over-the-counter drugs like ibuprofen, just taking them with mm-hmm. the added. And also, people are used to taking this herbal medication. People just send it to them from Nigeria, and also they have this idea that this is going to cleanse my bowel, this is going to do this. I'm not saying that those things they could get some benefits, which are not really proven. But you should be careful what you take, because the kidney filters everything. It's everything you take in the body, it filters to the kidney. So you need to look at that. And think about your cholesterol and exercise and all that.
Yes.
General well-being. Yes. Yeah. Sure.
Yes. Yeah. That's very good. That's very good advice, because the guy in the studio with me is just going to get a bottle of water.
Yeah.
That point about painkillers is especially important, because I remember the guest last week did say that, you know, they were used to buying medication over the counter, especially painkillers, because they were in a lot of pain, and you know the result was her having to need a transplant, and her mother gave her a transplant. Because many people take these painkillers regularly without thinking twice. So for someone listening tonight who is worried about their kidney health but hasn't been diagnosed, what would you advise them to do next?
I mean, if you have a family history of kidney disease, I would advise you to see your GP to do some checks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a history of hypertension or diabetes, when you go to see your doctor for follow-up, always say that, have you checked my urine for protein? Have you checked my kidney function?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things, because the kidneys is one of the organs that diabetes or hypertension makes. It damages it. Those are the 2 commands. And those things, you can deal with them, you know. So that's what I would say. And also some for people who have infected, especially water infection.
Yeah.
Please just seek treatment early with your GP.
Okay.
Be careful with over-the-counter medications and all that.
Okay.
So those are the things that I would say. They are quite basic. I always say that, is this what I say, that the hands of prevention is what's a pound of cure.
Yeah.
So you need to be very proactive with yourself.
Okay.
And all that.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah. And for those already living with kidney disease, some feel overwhelmed with all the information that's been thrown at them. Some feel isolated and some feel unsure of the future. What would you want them to hear tonight as someone who works with patients every day?
One of the things I would say that I've been in kidney practice since the late 90s. I think there's a lot of advances in treatment over the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
And so people are surviving longer now. And the treatments to prevent, to slow down progression of disease is there. And also when it comes to, when you get to a point where you need dialysis or transplant, then also dialysis is more, the machines are better now than before.
Yes.
And so the treatment quality is better, keeping people alive. I have patients who have been on dialysis for 15 years or more because they couldn't get a kidney transplant.
Yeah.
So in fact, the oldest person I've seen, you know, within our kidney, you know, association that was on dialysis was for up to 30 years. But I have had patients, my own patients, who have had kidney dialysis for 15 years. So there's kidney transplant also, which is, these days we are talking about transplant first.
Yes.
So when you're seen in clinic, we start to discuss about transplant and also begin to talk about organ donation with relatives and friends.
Yes.
I think that's a big issue within the Afro-Caribbean, Black and Afro-Caribbean communities.
It is.
So that's it. So the thing is that it's not, once you diagnose, doesn't mean that you're sentenced, so that there is no hope. The things have changed. The treatment have really been revolutionized over the many years.
That's true.
And so, and the drugs, the medications are better. Even the transplant medications are better now than before.
Yeah.
So it's something that you should be talking to your doctors in a very informed manner. And also there are charities now which can continue to, you know, like Kidney Care UK, even your charity Inera, which is been doing a lot of work among kidney patients.
Thank you, Professor. I do agree with what you've said. And it's conversations like this that saves lives, because understanding gives people confidence to act early and ask the right questions. Because if people are not getting this information that we're sharing tonight, they wouldn't know what to do. And, you know, I really, really appreciate you, you know, taking the time to break this down for people who are listening right now, or people who would go and watch it back, watch the playback. But before we close, I just want us to rest briefly with a song that carries reassurance and warmth. This is Simi, Simi with Blessings, and I'll see you back here in a very short minute. Don't go away.
Legendary beat.
Welcome back. That was Ayo by Simi. I call it Blessings. I don't know where that came from, but you know, she was talking about blessings. So I hope you enjoyed that. And now let us bring tonight's conversation gently to a close. And I hope all of you have enjoyed listening to the conversation between myself and Professor Ibi Irekosima. Tonight was all about understanding how kidney disease begins, understanding kidney stones, understanding what diagnosis really means, and understanding that knowledge does not create fear, it actually creates confidence. I want to especially thank Professor Ibi Erekosima for joining us and for the work he continues to do here in the UK and across Africa to promote kidney health. If tonight raised questions for you, please don't sit with them alone. Speak to your GP, ask for tests, seek information early, and if you need support, you can reach WSHBME Kidney Network, which is my charity, because we look after black kidney patients and their families across the UK. Our website is www.WSHBMEKidneyNetwork.org.uk, or you can call 07862-348-994 to speak to a buddy. You can also join our Facebook group, the African Caribbean Kidney Support Group. There you find other patients who have questions, those who are more experienced and can share their experience, their lived experience with you. And again, if you tune in to our sessions, or you tune in to our radio session on Radio Africana, you can send questions to us online and we will treat that topic at the next session. As we end tonight, this final song speaks to holding steady even when the journey feels uncertain. It is Stand Strong by Davido. However, before we get to the end of this show, I want to ask Professor Ibi if he has some last words for anybody who might be struggling currently, either because they've been diagnosed or they have some symptoms that they don't know if it is kidney disease or not. Over to you, Prof. Any last words?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, I think what I will say is that if you feel different, especially when you have diabetes, hypertension, and all that, You should contact your doctor as soon as possible.
Yeah.
To be able to try the signpost you to a kidney specialist. Or if you've been feeling tired or some symptoms you can't explain, contact your doctor so that you'll be able to signpost you and do some tests. And then if there's a problem with your kidney, signpost you. Well, now if you go and see a kidney doctor and the diagnosis will creep, chronic kidney disease, just be aware that there's treatment to reduce to stabilize your kidneys. And also, if it's gotten to a stage where it's not able to stabilize, where you need dialysis or transplant, there's a lot of information there to help you, but you need to engage with your doctor at every level. Now, finally, I will say that for those that say, I end up with this, how can I keep my kidneys healthy? There are things that you've been doing, perhaps. So you need to regular physical activity, eat less, eat sensibly, balanced diet, have a healthy diet. Keep your blood pressure, blood sugar, and blood fats under control. Stop smoking. Keep yourself well hydrated, and avoid over-the-counter medications and herbal medications if as much as you can. And stick to advice from your doctor.
Okay, thank you very much. And if you've heard that, you've heard it from the horse's mouth, and keep away from those concussions they sent to you from Africa. I know that it is supposed to help you, or you think it will help whatever ailment it is, but don't forget that taking those medication, those concussions could interact with the medication that has been prescribed for you. If you're unsure, make an appointment with your GP and speak to them rather than asking for people to send you stuff, because using those things might not help you at all, might make things worse. If you're at stage one, it might cause you to move on to the next stage very quickly, and we don't want that, do we? So as I said before, this session has been for information. I'm going to bring on more people who are on dialysis, people who've received transplant, people who are in the process of waiting for a transplant. In fact, people going through every stage of the kidney disease journey. And then I would move to organ donation. This is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people, because as you know, in Africa we don't talk about things like this. So until next time, I just want to say thank you to Professor Ibi Erekosima again for giving us his time today on the show, and for, you know, explaining and dispelling the myths around kidney disease and everything else. Thank you very much, Professor. And I want to say thank you for being with me tonight on Second Chances. And take care of yourselves. And don't forget, reflect on what has been said. This show will be uploaded to our YouTube and you can rewatch it again. Thank you very much. And here's our final song for the evening, Davido with Stand Strong. And good night. I hope you have a lovely, lovely weekend. Tomorrow is Monday. I want you to wake up refreshed. And don't forget, drink water at least 2 to 3 liters a day. Thank you very much for being with me. I'm your host, Hilaria Asumu, and here with Second Chances next week on Radio Africana. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you,
Prof.
Papa told me keep your head up high. Even though your body full of bite marks from all them canines. Steady moving, I'm just living life. And so many people in my business, so many joking eyes. My fans are easier to face, man. In the front of my head, steady chasing my paper. My tail with no chase. My steps are guided by Jehovah. I'm 44 looking over. Let no be stop us and over. And every show is a short time. Cause I stand strong. Baby, you no go minus. Baby, you only me 9+. Big fish flow like the ocean. No, I'm gonna stand strong. TPG day my back up. Look in my eye, you see the money and the fame and success, but you really don't know what's going on in my life. No pleasure comes from pain, no money fall like rain. This thing they cost my grave. But it's all love. My fears are easier to face, man. In the front of my head, man. Steady chasing my paper. Sipping my tail with no chase, man. My steps are guided by Jehovah.